I'm Pastor Master. This is Higher Ground Live. We are live with Dr. Sam Kennedy, who is back by popular demand. Now, Sam, you are telling us, you've been telling us that Ken Lay, Martha Stewart, Michael Jackson do not have to go to jail, despite the fact that they have been convicted in federal courts already.
That's correct, Pastor. Not one of those celebrity cases or anyone else has to spend a day in jail.
But these are high-profile cases.
Other than errors, unless they volunteer to be there. They cannot be sent to jail without their consent. And because of that, there are methodologies and protocols by which they do not have to, their consent does not have to be assumed in the courtroom.
All right. What are those methodologies? Because people want to know.
Well, a picture coming into a courtroom, a packed courtroom, 30, 40 cases to be called. Now, that obviously wouldn't happen in high-profile cases. But to the typical fellow or gal out there listening to our voices, they're walking in on a traffic case or an unfortunate accident or someone's suing them civilly or they've had criminal charges laid against them for a variety of specious reasons. They purchased a truck. They didn't make payments. The owner of the finance company was a former sheriff, filed criminal charges. I've seen it. Family court situations. Mom accused of sexual abuse on the nicest fellow you'd ever want to meet. Next thing you know, he's in handcuffs and on and on and on. And they come in with three, four, five felonies against them. All the cases are called. Their attorney leads them up and says, this is my client, Joe Blow, the defendant in the case, and now he has just volunteered into the case. Versus the fellow who submits some very simple paperwork, if he has time at the beginning of the case, and the judge save the case to the end because he doesn't want other people observing when someone walks up and says, hi, I'm here on that matter. I'm an intervening third party who's being injured by this action. I'm here by special appearance without waiving any rights, remedies, or defenses, especially the defense that this court wants in personam jurisdiction. I'd like to request a complete accounting of all securities that have been issued in this case. I've settled and closed the case. The paperwork's before you, Judge. We need to ledger the post-settlement closure and get this matter finished so you can go back to doing whatever you're doing with these other people, and I can get the heck out of here. That's going to be an entirely different outcome, and that fellow will never wind up giving a pleading. But let's say you get a paper and you're asked to show up 3 days later. You don't have time to prepare anything. You can walk in and you can say, Your Honor, thank you for this so-called indictment. I've had a chance to read the instrument, and I certainly agree that the county of Greene County exists, and the United States exists, and the state of Minnesota exists, or wherever the jurisdiction happens to be. And one or two of these other parties seem to exist within the corporate venue. However, I don't know how all these parties interrelate commercially or legally or in any other fashion for the purpose of coming up with some sort of criminal charge or a liability being attempted to impose upon the defendant who happens to be my collateral. So I'm going to need 60 days here for pre-pleading discovery so I can get enough facts so I know how to plead, because right now I'd have to be a mind reader to be able to plead to this case.
All right. That's interesting. Now I'm going to fight with you a little bit here on behalf of our listeners. I've brought up Ken Lay, so I'm going to bring him up again. Or Martha, I guess, doesn't matter. Or Michael, for that matter. I mean, Michael was facing very serious criminal, I mean, yes, they were all criminal, but really serious kind of charges. So you gave, as we came back into this discussion, you gave an answer with where you delivered a minute speech, a two-minute speech to the judge, and you concluded that with, and therefore the person who says that will never end up in jail. Let me pick on you a little bit. Sounds like you're talking about magic words.
What do you mean? How do you mean that?
Well, all someone has to do is walk up in front of the judge and say abracadabra, heckle jekyll, or whatever the words were that you said, and the judge can never put him in jail. And I know it's not that simple.
But exactly. All someone has to do is know who he or she is, utter the right words, and the entire process stops, because the right words will stop them from convening a court. The right words will stop them from having admiralty jurisdiction.
Now you're explaining yourself. Keep going.
Because, very simply, a case in admiralty begins with an arrest of the vessel, and then the owner or another claimant has to come in and make a claim. you don't have to come in and make that claim. You can come in as a third party who's being injured, as an intervening party. There are a number of ways you can come into this action, and you can do it by special appearance. Basically, special appearance is saying, I'm here to get to the bottom of this. What exactly is it that you want from me? I don't understand that. I'm going to need 120 days for some administrative process here so we can really discover what it's about. And that's what I'm here to talk about tonight, the administrative remedy. Administrative remedy means offering an opportunity, a private opportunity between the parties to find out if there's a claim, to discover if there's a claim, and to honor or dishonor that claim. We will always, our intention is to always honor any verified claims that are laid against us. Of course, there can never be any, and I'll explain that in a minute. So we want the opportunity for an administrative remedy, and if you don't have the time, then sometimes you have to buy a little time by basically telling the court, look, I haven't had an opportunity for administrative remedy. Granted, prosecutors run straight to criminal. They walk right by civil all the time. But the fact is, they may say things like, well, that's fine in civil, but this is a criminal matter, Mr. Jones. Well, that's fine. I don't care if it's a criminal matter, civil matter, whatever. Are you saying that criminal isn't a subdivision of civil law? That criminal isn't subtended from civil law? Because I need to know the rules we're operating under here.
You know, you're echoing what our Monday night member of our League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Winston Stroud, has said. He says, bottom line, when you say to a judge, I need time to work on my administrative remedy, they'll give it to you every single time.
They will. And if you get someone who's boneheaded, then you've got to get a little tough with him and remind him who he is. Your Honor, or Sir, at that point when he's operating outside his scope of office, he's not Your Honor, he's not a judge. He's just another guy, and now it's mano a mano, and it's, sir, I just want to let you know, if you're going to walk down this pathway, if you're going to operate outside your scope of office, if you're not going to listen to what's being said to you and operate accordingly, if you're going to fly by the seat of your pants, I'm going to have to operate under the assumption that you're dishonoring my claim, and you need to know that by agreement of the parties, we charge $50 million per event of stultification of my contract. So if your pockets are deep enough to accept that liability, you keep proceeding the way you're proceeding, and I'll be happy to take this to the appropriate venue where we'll welcome you in for the privilege of joining our contract.
Boy, oh boy, he'd sure wish the courtroom was empty at that point if it wasn't.
Oh, absolutely. And he may turn around, try and threaten you with contempt or lots of other threats that they fall back on. And it's at that point you have to know who you are and that your paperwork and your preparation and your head are coming from the right place. As a child of God, a true sovereign, it's your courtroom, not his courtroom. And very quickly he's going to find that out, because when you walk out of there, he's the one who's going to put his head on the desk and say, this is the worst day of my life. Or, more than likely, he's going to get up and walk out of the courtroom and leave you alone. And, Pastor...
You've seen that happen.
Pastor, I see that happen in almost every case I get involved in.
See, because the bottom line is, what you're saying works. It is real. Despite the fact that most people don't know about it, most people don't have the courage to stand up in court that way, it is real.
Put yourself in the position of the judge. You have someone standing in front of you who will not volunteer to be the defendant. I've done this numerous times with people who had been convicted on prior charges with the same judge. I handled a case that you're aware of. I helped a fellow in a case that you're aware of, Pastor.
We've had him as a guest on the show.
That's correct, where the fellow was recharged on all same four charges after he had served prison time on them.
Right.
Went before the same judge, said to him, I'm here by special appearance, knew who he was. He went through some crash education, had to break some of his old argument ways. And three judges recused themselves, including, to start off, the first judge who had sent him to jail.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct.
Looking at the same person, they know, or you educate them, that if they don't have a living man volunteering as a defendant, if you're the judge, what do? If you don't have a living man as a defendant, and the only thing you have now is a piece of paper that you've arrested. And I'll be happy to give it to them. Oh, you want to talk to the defendant, Your Honor? Here it is, and I'll hand them the birth certificate. There it is. You do whatever you want, but just remember, Judge, I'm the paramount creditor of your defendant. He's my debtor. So if you collect anything, you better pay it to me. I'm first in line. So, you mean you collected $500,000 from him? Well, Judge, where's my check? That's my money. Do you have a claim? Let me see your claim.
That takes courage. You know, and I believe that on a lower level, a lot of local judges may have no idea what you're talking about with that kind of stuff, but is there any doubt in your mind that federal judges know exactly what you're talking about?
Federal judges know exactly. And on the local level, you'd be surprised what they know, because in cases like that, we like to place the paperwork before them handily so they have an opportunity to digest who they are and who we are and react accordingly. When they receive that paperwork, I'll tell you this. The older they are and the closer to the date of their retirement, the more likely they are to recuse.
That's great. That's very good. We still got another 30 seconds of the break here. Take us up to a break with something wise.
Well, Pastor, I would never claim to have any wisdom to share with anyone. And wouldn't it be a shock if I said I have nothing more to say? Imagine 15 minutes of dry time.
Well, I'm glad that we actually have that on tape. Friends, I'm Pastor Master. We are live with Dr. Sam Kennedy on this, the most powerful hour in talk radio. We're not taking your calls live tonight, but 1-800-710-1099 is our normal call-in. I want to thank Barton Buttes for acquiescing this evening so that we could have Sam Kennedy back on again. Barton, such an important part of our team, and all of the work that Sam is doing begins with Barton's work on the straw man. So we've got a great team together here. 1-800-710-1099.